Do you understand the central core meaning of Calvary? It is God punishing his Son in your place, so that God may remain holy and yet pardon you totally and bring you out of misery into his presence in glory. So God's justice had to be removed. Satan was also in the way. Satan has his grip upon the souls of men. He is the soul destroyer. And we're told in the Bible that for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And as the devil lays his hold upon sinful men, the Lord Jesus broke the chains, sets men free, so that Satan is no longer the king, but he is defeated.
Welcome to our program today as we let the Bible speak. This is the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And on this station at this time, we bring you the message of God's precious word. And I hope that it will be an encouragement, a blessing and help to you. Now we're moving today to the message on John 3:16, God so loved the world. This is the world's greatest gospel text. And remember, you only need to write 3:16 and everybody gets it. I hope that you can take in the message of the gospel today, that God in his infinite love sent his own Son to die on that cruel cross to save your soul. If you will trust him today, he will save you. Now we have a hymn, Jesus is my dearest friend.
Oh, the seasons come and go, summer sun and winter snow. Though the passing years to earth their changes lend, there is one whose love so free for all time will changeless be. Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much he loves me. Jesus is my true and dearest friend. Swift current onward glides, there is nothing which abides. Through the fleeting years, all things must surely end. Friends may fail or faithless be, but there's one who cares for me. Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much he loves me. Jesus is my true and dearest friend. Then while time speeds on its way, let us live from day to day, to be those on whom the Master can depend. For though nothing shall endure, of this truth my heart is sure, Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend every day. Jesus is my dearest friend, come what may. Tongue or pen could never tell how much He loves me. Jesus is my true, my dearest friend.
That was Alan McGill singing for us, Jesus is my dearest friend. Today I want to introduce you to that friend by bringing you here in God's Word, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I hope that today that you will put your confidence in Him. So stay tuned right through to the end of this message as we go now to the pulpit to bring the word of salvation through faith in Christ.
This is just a little lesson we're drawing from this truth, that it is impossible to overrepresent the willingness of God to save. No preacher, no Sunday school teacher, no mother who speaks the gospel to her child can ever overexpress or exaggerate the truth that God is filled with infinite love to save your soul. How can we express the infinite? Where shall we get the words, the adjectives, to describe the very grace that is within the heart of God? And the very truth needs to be nailed to the coffin, that man needs to earn God's mercy and God's favor. You'll never do it. No matter how hard you might try, no matter how much you work at it, no matter how long you go on that pilgrimage of works, you'll never reach the place where you deserve God's love and mercy. But when you come and fall at the feet of the cross, and you take the place as an empty sinner, and you say, thank you, O God, that you designed this way, that I might be reconciled and come back to God, then salvation will flow into your heart. Will you do that today? Will you take the sinner's place at the foot of the cross? And then you will be saved. And this is the meaning of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's redeeming heart. God's love poured into your life freely and fully, that you will be saved for all eternity. And so this is the first major point here today, that the source of this salvation is the heart of God. For God so loved the world. Now, the second thing is that God gave His Son as a sacrifice for sin. I want you to think on what God giving His Son involved. It's a very easy thing to state. God gave His only begotten Son. But you think of what that involved. In heaven, in the Holy Communion between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus was the darling of the Father's bosom. And God appointed a day when His Son must leave the glory. And all the angels that were gathered around the throne, they saw the Son leave the glory of the presence of the Father, to go down, down through the very clouds, down, down into this world, down to Mary's womb, that virgin that was prepared, that womb that would give birth to Jesus in the form of man, down to human nature, and then down to Bethlehem, down to a cattle shed, down to a manger, and there born into this world is the Savior. When God gave his Son, he gave him to shame, to humiliation, and to live in a cursed world in a human body for us. But then the Bible tells us that God delivered him up. So he sent him down, but he delivered him up. Would you turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 32? I suppose I could have asked you to keep a marker there, but we'll return to it. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. And so God appointed the cross. And Jesus was arrested, tried by the Sanhedrin, put under torment under the Romans. Although he was found innocent, the crowd cried out, "Crucify him." And wicked men nailed our Lord Jesus to the cross. In all of that, God was delivering up his Son for us, that he might freely give us all things. God gave up his Son as a sacrifice. It was no mere pity mission, but it was a true transaction to cleanse away and clear away the guilt of man's sin. This text above us here, John 1:29, "For behold the Lamb of God." Why are we to look to Jesus as the Lamb of God? Because he's a sacrifice. He is the great sacrifice. And he was the sin bearer. And in that text it says, "that beareth away the sin of the world." And so our Lord Jesus on that cross, stretched out on a Roman gibbet, was suffering and bleeding, making payment to clear away the guilt of sin for all whom the Father would save, that sinners might be reconciled unto God. And there is no other view of the cross. There is no other view of redemption but that our Lord Jesus was suffering a substitutionary payment for sin. I want you to get that deeply, deeply buried into your heart. When God gave his Son, you link that with Romans 8:32, God spared not his Son. And so God's wrath, God's fury, God's punishment fell upon his Son. He spared him not. And all the wrath of God due to our sin was borne by our Lord Jesus while he hung upon that cross. And that's all wrapped up in the statement, God gave his only begotten Son. And then we move on to the whosoever. Back to John 3:16 now. God gave a Son to actively pursue to save sinners. God would remove every obstacle that you and I and those who trusted the Lord would truly, finally be saved. Think of all the things that had to be cleared away. The first issue was God's justice. Because when we talk about Jesus saving sinners, we're talking about those who have broken the law. They are lawbreakers. They are liars, thieves, cheats, adulterers. They are Sabbath breakers. They have rebelled against mother and father. They have become idolatrous and offended God at every point of the law. the justice of God demands the death of sinners. The wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth must die. And so God, to satisfy his justice, to remain righteous and holy, devised a plan. A substitute would die in our place. And God's wrath fell upon his own Son. And God the Father made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we who know no righteousness would be made the righteousness of God. And so God the Father made his Son the Lamb, the sin bearer. Do you get that? Do you understand the central core meaning of Calvary? It is God punishing his Son in your place so that God may remain holy and yet pardon you totally and bring you out of misery into his presence in glory. So God's justice had to be removed. Satan was also in the way. Satan has his grip upon the souls of men. He is the soul destroyer. And we're told in the Bible that for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And as the devil lays his hold upon sinful men, the Lord Jesus broke the chains, sets men free, so that Satan is no longer the king, but he is defeated. And if you are held by the power of sin in your life, you rejoice that Satan's power can be broken by the blood of Jesus and by faith in the Son of God. Then also man's rebellion is in the way. Now we're in John's Gospel. Let's turn to chapter 5 and to verse 40. John 5, verse 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Can you see that the reluctance is really in the heart of men? Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. This is the hostility, the reluctance, the rebellion that is in the heart of men. But in God's power, he changes hearts. And he turns that unbelieving, hostile, rebellious heart to a heart that is willing and ready for the will of God. If you look at John 6, 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. There's the drawing power. There's the attractive and the magnetic force of God's grace at work to draw you to faith in the Lord Jesus. And so God must do the drawing. It's like a reluctant child that will not eat. And of course you must coax the child. You must entice the child. You must draw the child out and give them an appetite that they will eat and drink. And so when you hear the gospel, you might say, what is that to me? I have no interest in it. Well, God, by his grace, turns your heart and moves you to seek unto him. And therefore, the invitation's wide open, and the drawing grace of God is at work. This word that the Father draweth, it's used in another place in the Bible where fishermen were casting their net. And those fish, as you know, are never going to jump into the net. But when they're caught, the net is dragged to the shore. And this is the power of God at work in bringing his salvation to sinful, lost, blind, needy souls, so that they come now willingly and ready to cling to the cross. And this is the very authority and the power of the gospel which the Lord works in the hearts of men. Another thing is a problem that needs to be cleared away, and that is unbelief. Unbelief. Man's innate, natural, carnal, fleshly unbelief. And of course, men say, show me. show me that God is gracious towards sinners. Well, God's display, God's exhibition is the cross of Calvary. You're full of unbelief. You wonder what you are to believe, how you are to be saved. What are you to believe in? Believe on His Son. Believe that God gave His only begotten Son to save you. Believe that He came into the world to redeem, to purchase. Believe that He lived a perfect life for you. By His obedience to the law of God, He's the perfect Savior that you need. Believe that on the cross He shed His blood for you. This is God's invitation, God's exhortation to come. And then, of course, believe that Jesus is risen again from the dead to justify you. You are not left in some quandary, but you are invited, called, and justified. And so God has given you, in the person of His Son, these things to believe. Now, do you believe? Are you interested today in the cross of Calvary, in the death of the Lord Jesus as He poured out His life for you? That greatest illustration of God's love to sinners. One hymn writer said, "The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell." And that's my problem right here in this pulpit right now. Where can I find the words to convince you and to expound to you the infinite nature of God's love for your soul? And so Calvary was not just the love of Jesus on the cross, willingly laying down His life. It was the great expression of God the Father, who gave His Son fully, freely, that He would be punished in your place, that you would believe on the Son and be marvelously saved. That's the gospel. Oh, the breadth of it, the height of it, the depth of it. This is the gospel. What does this all mean? Look at John 3:16 again. Those 25 words. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It means that despite our hell-deserving sin, the great Creator, the Father, yearned over us. And that although in His absolute justice, the sovereign ruler of the universe could not allow human sin to go unpunished, He has nevertheless provided, at infinite cost, a way of salvation for us from the pains and chains of our own sin. Do you get it? Has it reached your heart? Are you one of the whosoever? There's a definition of whosoever by a Northampton newspaper boy. And his answer when he was asked by a man, "Who are the whosoever?" He said, "Well, sir, you see, it sort of means everybody else and me." And it's the "and me" part that brings you into personal faith with the Lord Jesus. Do not leave out the "and me" in the whosoever. It includes you the moment you come, the moment you believe and trust in the Lord as your Savior. I want to read to you in closing a little statement by Sidlow Baxter, who wrote, "See that lovely word, whosoever. It looks out to all four points on the compass. It throws its arms round all five continents. It bids us come from north and south, from east and west and find salvation in the atonement made by God's dear Son. It beckons to old and young, to high and low, to rich and poor, and overleaps all distinctions of race and caste and color in its gracious eagerness to draw us back to the forgiving Father who loves us and gave his Son to save us. Read the words again. They are for you. Take them to your own heart by a simple act of faith and accept the Savior now. So go to your desk, go to your computer, and go to the trash and retrieve all of those 25 words again. They're not lost. You just deleted them out of your mind. But those 25 words still stand. And in the plan and purpose of God, to every sinner who will ever look to the cross, God so loves. What a gospel. Will you take it to heart today and make these 25 words your passport to heaven? They're given for you to change your destiny, that you might not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have that everlasting life? If you want to be saved today, would you speak with me? I have a little booklet called A New Beginning. In fact, we have many of them. We can give you a good supply if you want to share this gospel. But you need to trust the Lord personally. And if I can help you, maybe you want to just sit in the seat while others go, and I'll come and we'll talk, and you can settle this matter of your salvation today and be saved. That's the offer, the unchangeable offer of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I count it a joy to bring the message of God's Word to you today, wherever you may be. Here at Let the Bible Speak, we bring the messages of our pulpit from the Bible, expounding each page and each message that sinners might know the Lord. I want to let you know about a special meeting here at our church on Friday. It is by the Creation Science Movement, and the speaker is David Rives. The Bible Knows Best, Hidden Gems of Astoundingly Good Science and Good Advice in the Scriptures. So, come along on Friday evening here to our Free Presbyterian Church, 7 p.m., for this message by the Creation Science Association here in BC. We look forward to having you as a part of this special meeting, and it will be informative. There will be books and resources available. Bring your family, bring your friends. We look forward to meeting you there. That's this Friday here at our Free Presbyterian Church, 18790 58 Avenue, or the church address is 188 Street and 58 Avenue, 18790 58 Avenue. That's on the corner of 188 Street, 58 Avenue, just two blocks north of number 10 Highway. For all this information, you can go to our website. That's www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And there you'll get all the information about that special meeting, about the location of our church, a map, and the details. So please look it up. We look forward to having you this coming Friday, and of course any Sunday, 10:30 and 6 p.m., as here at our church we preach the Word of God week by week. Thank you for joining us here today in the program.